Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
We're doing a deep dive today into a really rich body of material, and it's all focused on this one idea, true peace.
Right, and what that actually means.
Exactly. Our mission here is to pull out the core insights, specifically from a promise made in John 14.27, and really get to the bottom of the difference between temporary relief and what the text calls real, lasting stability.
It's a huge difference. Life-altering, really.
It really is. And the text we're looking at starts with this perfect little story.
The one about the phone.
Yes. You know that feeling? You're busy, you're rushing, and suddenly that cold panic hits. Where's my phone? You drop everything. You're frantically checking pockets, the counter.
Wasting so much energy, so much stress.
And then, of course, you find it. It was in the car the whole time, on silent.
Mm-hmm. It was never actually lost, just muted.
That right there, that anecdote, it just perfectly captures what we do when stress hits. That frantic reaction.
It's pure emotional energy being spent, and often for nothing. And the source makes the point that when the real storms of life hit, we do the same thing. We get driven to our knees, and our first instinct is to just run around looking for the quickest possible fix.
We're just trying to turn down the volume on the panic.
Exactly. We're looking for that silent mode button for our own brains.
But the material argues this isn't just, you know, a harmless coping mechanism. There's a real danger here.
A critical risk.
Right. It says that if a tough situation goes on for a long time, that search for a quick fix can turn into something much deeper.
It becomes a dependency. The source actually calls it an addiction to quick fixes.
Which is such a powerful phrase.
It is, because a temporary band-aid can easily become a structural habit. If your only move when you feel discomfort is to find an immediate distraction, you never actually deal with the wound.
You're just managing the symptom.
And that is exhausting.
What I found so interesting was the list of these quick fixes. It wasn't just the obvious stuff.
No, it goes way beyond the big vices. I mean, sure, it mentions drinking, drugs, illicit relationships, unhealthy websites, the usual suspects.
But then it brings in things our culture almost celebrates.
Right, the acceptable distractions, things like addiction to social media, overspending, overeating, even overworking.
Overworking,
that one hit me.
It hits a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But what do they all have in common? They give you that immediate dopamine hit that just drowns out the noise for a little while. They work.
For a moment.
For a moment. They're functional escapes.
And that's the trap, isn't it? The quick fix doesn't solve the original problem. It adds a whole new layer of problems on top of it.
Creates these unintended consequences. Now you have the original storm and you have the fallout from your coping mechanism.
So you're just stuck in the cycle.
You are. Because all your energy, all your focus goes into the distraction, whether it's endless scrolling or working till 2 a.m. And that shifts your real priorities, your real relational needs, to the side. You're still looking for that true peace, but you're looking in all the places that guarantee you'll never actually find it.
You're stuck in that frantic loop, constantly checking the kitchen counter when the phone's been in the car the whole time.
It's like trying to solve a spiritual problem with a material solution.
You can't. And that's why, if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to stop seeing peace as an effect, you know, the result of the storm slash.
We'll start seeing it as what? A source.
That's a source, a right. Structural foundation. And to really get why the source material's definition of peace is so revolutionary, we have to look at the exact moment it was first offered.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. The text points us straight to John 14.27. And the setting is? It's just incredibly dramatic.
It's not a calm, happy moment.
No. It's the Last Supper. Jesus is there with his disciples, and he knows that in just a few hours, their entire world is going to be obliterated.
Imagine being one of them. You're sitting there, maybe talking about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom, and your leader is talking about leaving you.
And not just leaving. They're about to see him arrested, beaten, executed. Everything they had staked their lives on was about to look like a complete failure.
Their hopes, their future, even their own safety, it was all about to be, as the source says, shaken to the core.
So this promise of peace, it wasn't given to them after the crisis was over to make them feel better.
No.
It was given right before the absolute darkest moment of their lives. That feels less like a comfort and more like a tool.
It was a structural brace. He knew their stability was about to be destroyed by their circumstances, and so he gives them this one vital truth to hold on to.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you.
Not as the world gives you, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
That one little phrase, not as the world gives, that seems to be the whole hinge point here.
Yeah.
Why make that distinction so sharply? What's so wrong with the world peace?
It comes down to the definition. And what's fascinating here is how fundamentally different the two definitions are. The world defines peace based on circumstances. Peace is just the absence of trouble. The war is over, the argument stopped, the noise is gone. That's peace.
And if that's your definition, then it makes sense that you spend all your energy trying to control your circumstances.
Of course. You try to stop the storm or escape it, which leads right back to the quick fixes.
The scrolling, the overworking.
Precisely. If peace is external, I have to fix everything externally. But the source material defines peace completely differently. It's about a relationship with him.
Okay, so let's dig into that. Because the word for peace here isn't just about a calm feeling, is it?
Not at all. We're talking about the Greek word eirono. And a core part of its meaning is the idea of being joined together.
Joined together.
Yes. Completeness, wholeness, rest that is secured by that joining.
So it's not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of integrity,
yeah.
Of being whole.
It is structural integrity. That is the perfect way to put it. Think of it like a skyscraper in an earthquake. The world's peace says, I'll have peace when the shaking stops. This peace, Irena says, I have peace because I'm built on a foundation that can withstand the shaking. The peace comes from being joined to the foundation, not from the ground being still.
Wow. That changes everything.
It does. The source ties this comprehensive well-being directly to Christ's work and his presence. So peace isn't an external silence. It becomes an internal reality.
So if the peace I need is relational and internal, then running around trying to find it through a quick fix social media,
mm-hmm.
overworking, is not just unhelpful, it's the exact opposite of what I should be doing.
It's totally counterproductive. It's like trying to fix a crumbling foundation by putting a new coat of paint on the walls.
It's impossible.
And you know why? Because the source of this true peace is already internal. The text says it's closer than you think. It's an established reality because you are already joined together. You don't have to wait for the world to start troubling you. You just have to abide in the relationship that grounds you.
Okay, so this flips the whole script. The instruction isn't go search frantically for peace. It's stop blocking the signal that's already there.
That's it.
So how do we do that practically? How do you take your mind and heart off silent mode, as the text puts it?
Well, the first step is just recognizing that the frantic search is the problem. The distraction is the blockage. If you spend 3 hours scrolling to numb an emotional weight, you've just sacrificed the very time and clarity you needed to connect with the source of your strength.
So instead of reacting to the feeling of being overwhelmed, the idea is to proactively engage with the foundation.
Exactly. The action it recommends is a deliberate choice to slow down, to shift your focus. Read, meditate, pray on his word.
But the goal isn't to make the storm magically disappear.
No. The goal is to use the time to intentionally draw closer to the source of your stability. It's prioritizing intimacy with him over immediate relief from the circumstance.
I think we all know that stillness is good for us, but, you know, sometimes when you try to be still, the anxiety just gets louder.
It does.
How does the text claim this internal focus produces actual tangible results? Not just a feeling of calm, but real help.
Because the peace is structural, not just emotional. It's the relationship itself that is the source of stability. And when you are joined together with that foundation, the text says that intimacy secures specific practical outcomes that help you navigate the actual storm.
And what are those outcomes? What does this relational peace actually produce?
The source lists several: wisdom, strength, endurance, contentment. And most importantly, it says it gives a peace that transcends all understanding.
Which is a direct reference to another part of the source material.
It is. It means the peace you experience in the middle of the storm doesn't have to make logical sense to anyone on the outside. You have strength, not because your circumstances got easier, but because your foundation is sound.
So the quick fixes give you a temporary break from the feeling of panic, but they actually drain your real strength.
They do. They drain your resources.
But engaging with the foundation provides the actual strength and wisdom you need to get through the crisis.
That's the whole synthesis right there. The external circumstantial fix is shallow and costly. The internal relational stability of eirono is deep, structural, and provides enduring resources. It's the peace that holds you together when the world is telling you that you should be falling apart.
So what does this all mean then? For you listening, if you're in the middle of a storm right now, we started with that frantic search, that panic.
Looking in all the wrong places.
All right, relying on those temporary fixes, the drinking, the endless scroll, the overworking, that just deepened the chaos.
And we've contrasted that with the peace promised in John 14.27, a peace that is internal, it's relational, and it's enduring because it's all about being joined together.
You don't have to go find it somewhere out there. You just have to turn off the mental and emotional silent mode and lean into the relationship that's already your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That final instruction from Jesus in the text, it's so simple, but so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
And your ability to actually do that depends entirely on where you're looking for peace. In the circumstances, which you can't control, or in the relationship, which is always, always available.
Which brings us to our final thought.
If the world says peace is the absence of conflict, but this text says peace is being joined together with a foundation that provides structural integrity, how might redefining what wholeness means for you change how you approach the next storm in your life? And think about that list of diversions. What single distraction, what one quick fix are you going to stop relying on this week and instead choose to focus on that internal abiding relationship?